Good evening, guten Abend. I'm sorry, ich spreche keine Deutsch, and I hope when I come next time I'll be able to speak a little bit more. But the week I'm here, I'm picking up a little bit, so I even watch news on TV and understand something. I want to thank you for the invitation to be here. It's such a great blessing and joy to be here. I was in the morning service and I met some of you already, so it was really great. And I want to thank you for your songs and service. It's really amazing. I would like to share a little my homily or thoughts, and to start that to do with the scriptures. With the scriptures from Romans 5. So if you have Bibles, you can read along in German. If not, I read it in my poor, broken English. But hopefully we'll all understand. And I'm sure that many of you know this chapter by heart, because Romans 5, 1 to 5, it's one of the central passages for Reformation, for our Lutheran faith, in the meaning of justification and sanctification by Jesus Christ. But on other personal note, I would maybe, in my reflections today, I'll dwell more on how important this Word of God, and especially this Romans 5, 1 to 5, was so important for me and many other people growing up and practicing their faith behind Iron Curtain in Soviet Union. People who was in Siberia in prisons and persecuted, and this verse literally helped lives of many people and keep them going and keep them having the hope and faith and to, with God's help, to survive. So Romans 5, 1 to 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into his grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Amen. So we have been justified by faith in God through Jesus Christ. This first verse, actually, to make complete and summarize our stance and our dwelling and abiding in God. Not that we know God, but as a Greek word, faith, to believe, means pisteo. It means to have something, to belong into something, to be born and to live into it, which is faith. Faith is not just a belief or systematic knowledge, but faith, it's spiritual existence. And we have been justified through Jesus Christ, through that in God. The most important thing, I'll put down my Bible, what Saint Paul says, that now we have access through Jesus Christ, we have access to God, to his grace. We have access to his grace. The word grace in biblical language, koine, charis, is very, very charged, very rich word. And I'm sure that is in German. So, but the charis means lots of meanings, including forgiveness, repentance, supportive acceptance, and it might be the regeneration. So these words it's very rich and very unique. And it's not only moral or psychological or ethical act, but it's a spiritual existence, what we receive from God in the presence of Jesus Christ. His grace and regeneration and renewal he gives to us. So we have, in a way, I might say that we have source of divine love, harmony, perfection, ability to live according to Ten Commandments, ability to live according to the divine love, the way it is given to us by God himself in the Old Testament and especially in the New Testament with the fulfillment and atonement of Jesus Christ. So this is incomprehensible for human being to comprehend and understand that we have this divine source. As Bible says, we have access to divine regeneration, to his grace. Many thinkers, philosophers, people, founders of religions, like Leo Tolstoy, for example, and others keep saying these beautiful quotes that all religions in the world, they are the same. So they go up, they climb up on the mountains, on the top of the mountain, in their way for perfection and seeking God in order to find God. It's a journey like Buddha had and someone else. So there is very popular in the world this context of necessity to find and to seek the source of happiness, perfection, sainthood, etc. Because even today for many Christians seem that to have this source of divine grace and God's presence, it's too good to be true. But what it's exactly the claim what Jesus Christ says, what Bible says, that God himself from the top of the mountain, from the universe, creator of universe and earth and everything, he came down to the mountain as incarnate man, the Son of Man, as a Jesus Christ. And he gave this source, he brought it down on the earth. And basically, this access to divine grace, it's not only fancy theological or biblical terminology, but it's a spiritual reality. In a way, in other words, we have shortcut. We had shortcut to God. We don't have to spend many years reading libraries or living in the monasteries and maybe finally finding final bliss or final solution. We have this shortcut, which is really amazing, divine power. But the question is, the next question, logical, which we would notice in our personal lives, that it's wonderful, and we believe that, and we confess that every Sunday in our faith. But the problem is we see that we don't live a perfect lives. We're just a sinful and weak human beings. And we see that all around us, all Christendom, all humanity, fallen humanity has problems with holy, saint, and perfect life. And the question is, why it is so? Because Bible says, St. Paul in the same letter, that our will and our thoughts gladly will say, yes, God. Yes to divine, yes to sacred, yes to divine love. But our flesh and body sees different tendencies. So it's much, much easier to do what is pleases us, our human mind and body, than to do holy and perfect things. And this right there, at this point, we start to experience this certain difficulty, contradiction, or conflict, which Paul talks about. It's a tribulations or afflictions or even sufferings. Because yes, we say gladly, we rejoice in God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We rejoice having peace and being reconciled with him. It's a joy. We glory God and we rejoice. Amen. But Paul says the next sentence immediately, but we rejoice also in our afflictions. Another translation says in our sufferings, in our difficulties. So why it's so? What's so joyful about that? Why people, you know, could be so happy about that? So one of the reasons, and the main reason probably, is that we feel, we see, and we notify that we are not perfect. that even with divine grace and God's presence in Jesus Christ, we still are weak, we are sinners, we face our imperfection, we face our doubts, we see the problems in our faith, relationships, family, maybe in the church. So there is always problems. We don't live in the paradise and we don't feel like we are pure and perfect angels in some Christian heaven nirvana. It's not the case. So we experience that, what we could call difficulties every day, with temptations every day. It's not only about big religious theological things. We have conscience. So we have choices and temptations every day to do a good thing or bad thing, maybe to spend more time and to develop even the habits in order to feed my flesh and to pleasure my body, my free time, my leisure time, just basically to be more lazy, not to work out, not to help others, not to pray, not to do positive, noble, spiritual things in order to serve God and to serve humanity, or to serve even your neighbors, your closest ones. So there is this dilemma which we experience every day. The problem is sometimes we don't pay attention to that because it's just a small thing, you know. Should I go to do some good today? Maybe not. I'll just watch TV. Maybe have a beer. Or I was so stressed out at this school or college, university. Oh, I don't want to go pray even more now. I need to relax. I need a pacifier. You know, people need a pacifier. You know, pacifier is like the babies have this. It's in English. You know, baby all the time. So that's why people, you know, you have to have a smoke. You have to have a smoke. You have to have a, you know, beer. You have to relax. You have to play video games. You know, you play with your iPhones, etc., etc. So we all need these pacifiers. It's just crazy, but it's reality how weak people are, and that's too. It's not only heroic battle of in Christendom and against KGB or communists or medieval ages in the early Christianity, but the enemy are choking us slowly. Sometimes in the comfort. And you have heard this famous saying which says that in politics it's often addressed that politics corrupt and corrupt, you know, corruption makes absolute corruption. And the same with comfort. Comfort corrupts and absolute comfort corrupts absolutely. So, and sometimes we are poisoned even we didn't see that. And thus people have, we have these tribulations, when we have, as I mentioned, doubts in ourselves, people have mood swings, and people have depressions. I remember when I escaped from USSR, from Soviet Union, with this crazy life, and I remember I landed in American, wealthy Christian country. It was like a Disneyland, you know, coming out from medieval ages, from this darkness, and suddenly you land in America. And I was surprised to see how many people, you know, they have everything, houses and cars and churches, but there is lots of depression. There is young people, it was for me a shock, they had mood swings, apathy, mood swings. They take pills and everything, and so on. I was really, really surprised. And that's where I saw, as a Christian who was persecuted and spent some time in prison and harassed by KGB, I realized pretty well that, in a way, it's more difficult to be a Christian in a free and comfortable world than when you live behind an iron curtain or somewhere else, when you are forced, in a way, to practice your faith, when you are persecuted, put in jail, and you every day have to be aware that you could be arrested or put in psychiatric asylum or sent to Siberia. So, back to those things, these temptations, which are huge varieties, starting with pacifiers, cigarettes, and iPhones, or self-doubts, and, you know, hundreds and thousands of them. So basically, what Paul says, and these words was very important for me, that we have to show, the moment we identify these difficulties or temptations, we have to resist them. And it doesn't mean that we have failed when we realize that we are sinful or imperfect. But it's a part of the biggest picture. We have to resist them. So it's an act of will, if you wish. Of course, it's a divine grace. It's a charis. We have access to this grace. It's given by God. Everything is given. Christ has done everything. But still, there is this free will. There is act of will. We have to accept it. It's like if I describe this charis or divine grace, it's like a divine mountain from the water, from the streams of the rivers, from the mountains. So it's here. It's like but you have to kneel down and you have to drink it. You have to take it. You know, it's not enough just to sit down, to watch it, and to meditate and contemplate about it and self-reflect and analyze what it would be if I would try to do that. So you have to do that. You have to drink it. You have to eat it. You have to inhale it. That must be your pacifier, your relaxation, your inner peace, and your true joy. And that's why Paul says, which seems strange to many people, we can rejoice in our sufferings. Yeah, because we are alive. So yes, it's difficulty. Because sufferings produce perseverance, and perseverance character. So once we have these tribulation or difficulties, even in a small scale, as I said, so it makes character. And character means we made a habit. We made a habit. And it seems thing, and it's again, it's an act of will. So it's not just a hallelujah and rejoicing in the spirit and singing when we feel good. It's everyday work. And that's why St. Paul mentions several times in Bible, as an example, athletes. And we know that you cannot achieve something in sports. You cannot go to Olympics or even to be in shape if you don't make a habit, if there is no discipline, if there is no regularity. So you have to make a habit. So thus, sufferings produce character. We have this habit already, and it gives you this life's energy. Because after sufferings produce character, character produces hope. Character produces hope. But hope not only in psychological meaning, but what St. Paul says through Holy Spirit or God's Spirit, which is put in us, in our existence. It's almost anthropological question. That's where God shows that we are created in such a way that we have this spirit in us given by God. So, and there is no other way as to live according to the God, to drink from his eternal water of life and blessing and love in order to live and in order to overcome all these temptations and difficulties and in order joyfully to resist everything which prevents us from being believers of God, prevents us from believing, being the true disciples of Christ's love and his truth. There is recently I just read interesting article, scientific research, when it says that in a Western world, people pay attention to very positive motivation. You have to be motivated to start to do something. But the researcher actually found out that much, much stronger and effective than motivation is discipline and responsibility. Because there is always, when you find good time to starting something new and you look for the mood of motivation, it's never going to happen. As for when you make a habit as a discipline, it always gives you this positive energy and joy, which changes your personality, your way of life, and your habits. So, love and tribulations, in a way, they give us in this verse and these very important scriptures balance in our faith, so that on the one hand, we have to have faith and believe very deeply, very personally, to be disciples of Christ. And on the other hand, we have to resist and see, understand that's what's happening in the world. As I mentioned, the act of will and responsibility and doing certain things to make a habit of faith. There might be seemingly contradictions. Sometimes the theologians talk about that. Everything is from God's grace. Everything is grace and given by God. Everything is gift, which is true. But as I mentioned before, with several examples, there is a will of act too. We have to respond what God says. So he calls us and we become his disciples. And I would like to end maybe with this famous word of Saint Augustine and others has said this laborare est orare, which from Latin means to work, means to pray. But there are some translations where say laborare et orare, which means that pray and work. And basically, like Augustine said, we have to believe in God and in Jesus Christ and to rely on him and solely on him and his presence as if nothing else, you know, depends on us. Only everything is from God. So thus we have to pray him and follow him. But on the other hand, we have to work, read, and make these habits of right thing to do according to Christian teachings as if everything depends only from us. And have these two best efforts of very deep, serious, responsible faith and very serious, responsible actions in our life are combined. It's, as my friend once said, he's Muslim, he said, Eric, this is a deadly mix. So it makes us blessed and strong in our faith as individuals and as a community. And so in this regard, we have to understand that Jesus Christ is not only at the end of this order of sufferings, perseverance, proven character, and hope. This order, it's an order or way of perfection and resistance, all doubts and evil. And so we don't have to read, if we have this verse in our hearts, many self-help books with the 10 or 20 steps, how to become happy, how to get out of the depression, etc. The God gives us this shortcut, this phenomenal teaching. So in this regard, we understand that God himself, or Jesus Christus, ist unsere Hoffnung, right? Jesus Christus is our hope. Amen. Thank you for listening.